I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and that makes the Stuff You Should Know the podcast.
The chimpanzee-centric podcast.
Frequently.
I told you about the time that chimp held my hand, right?
Yeah.
That was just the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about it today, and my heart melts a little.
Just a little?
Just a little.
You're a weepy guy.
Yeah, this is like 10, 12 years ago.
And oh, it's worn off?
Yeah, it's still melting, though. By degrees.
Do you think it will melt forever?
Every time I think of that little chimp holding my hand, it will melt a tiny bit.
Why don't you just go buy a chimp and you can have it happen all the time?
Dude, if I didn't have 3 dogs and 2 cats, I would have a chimp in my house.
Would you really, even after that one story? Remember when we started blogging, it happened? That chimp,
lady's face or something.
Tore it off.
Yeah, I would, because that was such a big deal, it made the news. And I don't think that doesn't happen all the time.
Okay.
I would totes have a chimp.
When did you start talking like that? You're talking like my friend Adam, and it's unnerving.
Adam says totes?
Oh, yeah.
I think
he
it's funny.
He talks like that, like everything's abbreviated.
Oh, yeah. Emily and I do that. I'm totes on the totes train.
Yeah. Are you?
I just think it's funny. Okay. Jerry's laughing. Jesus.
Just don't start saying Natch, okay?
Oh, that's old school, though.
I know, but I still don't like it.
All right.
I never did. Totes I can handle more than Natch.
Okay.
Bleh. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Chuck, I want to tell you about a certain lady. Her name is Wenka.
Okay.
And she has kind of a rough life story.
Let's hear it.
She was born into a family in disarray, you might say. She was born in 1954. And when she was just 2 years old, her mother died after being mistakenly poisoned.
Wow.
Her mother's father, her grandfather,
mm-hmm.
He was a morphine addict who died as a result of his addiction. Her grandmother, maternal grandmother, died of dysentery. On her father's side, she was one of 40 grandkids.
Wow.
Can you believe that? She was adopted out at a very young age, but returned back home at age 3. At 15, she had her first daughter, and her daughter was born with Down syndrome.
Wow.
She died at 17 months. Eventually, Wenka went on to have another boy and a boy and another girl. And here's the mind-blowing part. She's a chimpanzee.
What?
Yes.
Wow. I did not see that coming.
I know. I was sitting there like, how is there a way to do this at the top of the chimp podcast?
No, that's great.
Not somebody not know.
Because it sounded like you were talking about a human story.
But think about all of the stuff that her family went through. If they were humans,
sure,
wouldn't you feel pretty bad for her?
Yeah.
Well, feel bad for Wenka, too. And here's why. She is, as far as anyone knows, the oldest primate in captivity that's still being used for research. And
how old
she's
is she?
Here in Atlanta. Well, she's born in 1954.
Oh, okay.
And she's been experimented on ever since she went back to the Yerkes Primate Institute at age 3. And her mom, the one who was mistakenly poisoned, was one of the original ones that Yerkes got his hands on.
Wow.
In the, what, the 40s, right?
No, the 20s. Well, in the 20s,
yes,
is Robert Yerkes started messing around with behavioral research, not as much medical research.
No, and
at first
you think like, oh well, that's way better. But have you looked into some of the behavioral experiments that they were conducting?
I'm sure it's not fun.
So like one young chimp from, I believe, for the first 36 months of his life,
mm-hmm.
had like plastic or some sort of obstruction over his hands and his feet, so he couldn't use either of them for the first 3 years of life. A lot of social isolation, like chimps spent the first 2-3 years of life without seeing, hearing, touching anybody else.
That's like a Little Albert chimp.
Yes, very much so.
Wasn't it Little Albert? Yeah.
Yeah, Little Albert was on a human, though, the
sure.
fear conditioning.
Yeah.
The equivalent to that was Harry Harlow's experimentation of separating chimps from their mothers.
Right.
And then raising them with, like, wire and cotton fake reconstructions that they would cling to and treat as their mother, because what he found from these experiments is that moms are really important.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking about...
We started this off on a...
Well, I mean,
foot, didn't we?
This isn't the brightest of topics, although the ending is fairly uplifting.
Yeah, it is.
Or at least headed that way.
Yeah.
We won't ruin it.
So, Chuck, let me set you up here. We have only, just in the last few years, come to think that animals deserve some sort of rights. Right? It's a very new idea, isn't it?
It is new-ish.
Okay.
For sure.
Like maybe 18th century newish?
Yeah. England leads the way.
Yeah.
Our British friends passed the first anti-cruelty laws against animals in 1822.
Well, even before that, Jeremy Bentham, he wrote a paper on how animals could possibly suffer and maybe we should start treating them differently.
Late 1700s.
Yeah.
Kudos to him.
Yeah. And did you know that he is mummified and they bring his body out for... some annual dinner.
For Dancing with the Stars?
At the college. He's a judge. At the college where he was a professor, I believe.
Really?
They bring his body out for dinner every year.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a little weird.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
He still looks great, by the way.
Does he really?
Mm-hmm.
So PETA didn't start until 1980. A lot of people might think that PETA's been around like since the 60s or something.
Yeah, it's, I was surprised to see that.
Fairly new. And then the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals was started in 1866.
Right.
So pretty new in a world view.
Right. But
in the big picture.
Specifically, and that's general animal rights.
Yeah.
But chimps in particular, the idea that they maybe deserve even more special rights than the average lab rat is based on something that's also fairly recent, which is the discovery or the idea that we share a tremendous amount of similarity with them. There's no other animal that is closer to humans than chimps, right?
Yeah, I think the number is just over 98%, 95% of DNA sequence, 98 to 99% of DNA...
pairings?
The other part. I can't remember what it's called. Should have written that down.
Well, no, that's very, like, people throw that out, like, chimps are 98% similar to humans, and that's very misleading.
Yeah.
Like you said, the genetic sequence of the chromosomes that we share or that are similar in apes and humans mm-hmm. are 98% similar.
Okay.
It's not like if you took our DNA and put it side by side.
Right.
Only 2% would be different.
Right, right.
It's not like that. And in fact, chimps have 10% more DNA than humans do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's very misleading to say, but the point is,
right,
they are very genetically similar, probably more than any other animal. And we've known that since the 20s.
Yeah, and similar enough to that at a certain point, people said, you know what? We've experimented on human prisoners long enough,
yeah,
and they say we can't do it anymore,
yeah,
which is a drag. So let's get these chimps in here and give them disease.
And here we reach the title of the podcast. there, as much as we would like to think that it is a very easy moral, ethical question, like should chimps be used for medical research, it's not.
No.
Because if you, as we were saying before, if you like walking around not having polio,
yeah,
or hepatitis
B,
yeah,
yeah,
you can go ahead and thank a chimp for volunteering. I'm sorry, wait, that was the absolute worst word I could have used.
Yeah,
for being basically a test animal on those vaccines and treatments. Same with contraceptives.
Yeah.
If you like our understanding of addiction, you can thank chimps for that.
For being a space animal, let's go ahead and call that out. That's where it all began. The U.S. Air Force said, hey, we got a space race going on.
Right.
Let's go get some chimps from the wild, shoot them up into space, put them in sled cars, test G-forces on them, see what can happen.
Put them on the G-Wiz rocket sled.
I guess What's-His-Face was getting a little tired at that point.
Colonel Stapp?
Yeah.
He couldn't see because of all the blood pooled in his retinas.
So pre-NASA, the Air Force went and got 65 chimpanzees from the wild, and a lot of these chimps are used today are descendants of those original chimps because they couldn't keep going to get them after the
sites.
Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species in 75.
Which basically said, like, hey, man, you can't just start going and grabbing chimpanzees or
right.
other animals out of the wild. They're in danger.
Exactly. So they started breeding these chimps.
Right. The ones that they already had after CITES was passed, they said, okay, well, we'll just start making them here in America.
Making them.
Made in America.
Yes.
Chimps.
And I did find it odd, or not odd, but a little, like, distressing that some of those a lot of these chimps today are descended from those original 65.
Yeah.
Because of breeding. I mean, it makes sense, but who knew?
Well, same with Yerkes. His primates that he had in the 20s, those original four, that was a captive breeding program as well.
Oh, yeah?
I think he definitely supplemented them with imports.
Yeah.
You know, because it was prior to CITES, but he had, you know, bred them. They bred.
They bred.
They breded.
They did it.
Yeah.
And like you pointed out, we should say that Yerkes is now in Atlanta, here at Emory University.
Yeah.
After being in Florida for 20-some-odd years, they moved to Atlanta.
And sponsored by Yale before.
Yeah, and they got 2.5 acres at the main station here in Atlanta. And then in Lawrenceville, just up the road, they have the field station, 117 acres of chimpanzee breeding and testing facilities.
Yeah. It's where chimps go to get their drugs.
Chimpanzees are endangered. They're native to Africa. And because of their similarities, they thought, you know, this HIV thing in the 80s, maybe we should start injecting these chimps and see how and if they develop AIDS.
That's what changed everything.
That
the combination of sites and the appearance of AIDS combined with chimp similarity, like, really changed everything. We had a captive breeding program. The federal government sponsored it, and so it became very, very big.
A mysterious new disease.
Yeah, the fear of AIDS and HIV was so enormous that they, within just a few years of this captive breeding program that was started by the National Institutes of Health in 1986, I think maybe within a year or two, there were, I think, 500 chimps running around with HIV.
That's right.
The big problem was, as we soon found out, that while they can carry HIV, and chimps are the only other animal besides humans that can contract HIV.
Right.
Because cats have their own, dogs have their own.
Right.
Other apes and primates have their own, but only humans and chimps can have HIV.
That's right.
We found that chimps don't get AIDS. They don't go, they don't move into full-blown AIDS.
Yeah, at least not like humans do. And so it was kind of a big failure on that front. And all the progress we've made on AIDS research has been because of human experimentation.
Yeah.
Basically.
Or watching and seeing.
Well, yeah,
I guess
exactly.
is another way to put it.
1966, the Animal Welfare Act outlined minimum care requirements for all animals and cats. Captivity.
Right. So these chimps were, you know, before the CITES program, the ones that they were importing, they still had some sort of protection, but it wasn't, you know, there weren't that many bells and whistles. It was pretty Southwest Airlines, not really Singapore Air, you know?
I would thought you would have said like Virgin Atlantic or something. Is Singapore Air really nice? Really?
It's up there with like Emirates, Singapore. Japan Airlines is pretty nice too.
Concorde. Remember that?
Yeah, we should do one on that. Do you remember the time that Phil Collins played a show in London?
Yeah. Live Aid.
And then flew. Was it for Live Aid?
Yeah.
He played two shows on two different continents within like
Philly
five
and,
or 6 hours of each other.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Thank you, Concorde.
Thank you, Phil Collins.
Yeah, well. Thought that might go without saying. I can just open my shirt and show you my t-shirt to say that.
Yeah. And by the way, that's a huge urban legend that he saw his girlfriend's rapist in the audience.
Yeah.
Drowning. Not true. Makes for a good story, though.
Yeah. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Getting back to Animal Welfare Act, you said it was didn't have the bells and whistles. Said temperatures had to stay between 45 and 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Not bad. Keep them comfortable.
Yeah.
Got to give them food and water. Got to isolate the sick ones, even though you can get a waiver on that if they're supposed to be sick among their friends.
Right.
I imagine that wasn't too hard to get that exception.
Right.
And basically it applied to all chimpanzees for both biomedical and behavioral research, which was good.
And all animals, any animal that's being experimented on, any warm-blooded animal.
Or in captivity, period.
Okay.
Like, I think it would just apply to zoos and everything.
Gotcha. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So we had that in place in 66. CITES came along in 75. The chimpanzee breeding program came along in 1986. And then when that collapsed and failed, the U.S. government was like, oh, what are we going to do here? We've got literally hundreds of chimps running around with HIV. They're like, if they come in contact with people,
yeah,
especially sickos, it could spread, right?
Well, and they don't live to be 12.
No, they
like
live
a dog.
To be 60.
Yeah, so that's, and they cost money to, you know, house and
about
feed.
About 15 bucks a day.
Yeah.
So.
Doesn't sound like a lot, but no, it adds up.
That adds up, especially when there was only about, I think, 500 that had HIV, but there was something on the order of like 12 to 1,500 that the government was responsible for. And it wasn't just the failure of the HIV-AIDS studies. You can thank Jane Goodall and groups like PETA and the ASPCA and the Humane Society in the early 80s, around this time when chimp research was really at its peak, for kind of alerting the public to the cruelty of animal testing and research.
The Army of the 12 Monkeys.
Yeah.
You can thank them.
I did.
They were red herring.
I did. It was back in World War One.
We should talk a little bit about the Calston or Colston Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
That is now defunct. It was shut down in 2002. And here's the deal. It's controversial. Depending on who you ask, Frederick Colston was the guy who was a toxicologist who helped develop treatment for malaria,
mm-hmm,
and hepatitis B and AIDS.
Yep.
Or it was a house of horrors, and he performed experiments on human prisoners and then moved to chimps. And You know, in one test, chimps had their teeth smashed in with a steel ball so they could practice reconstructive dental surgery. In 1995, three chimps were cooked to death when the temperature in their, and this is New Mexico, in their unmonitored enclosure topped 140 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
And since 1993, 33 chimps and I think 45 animals in all died, quote, unintended deaths at the Colston Foundation. So, you know, it sounds like some awful, awful thing going on. But then again, he's developing these treatments for these awful diseases. So it's a very dicey situation.
Oh, it is.
But they were shut down in 2002 because negligent care on a lot of fronts.
Yeah. And there are plenty of people who have like a really good, they have really good ground to stand on by saying,
sure,
like any animal testing is bad and it doesn't matter how well you treat these animals, like you shouldn't be experimenting on.
Right. Were they put on this earth to test to save humans? Some people back that, some people don't.
Right. Very recently I saw there was some researcher associated with the Center for Great Apes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Apparently there's like a number of them, and one of them's in Des Moines. And apparently somebody slashed the heels of an infant chimp to keep it from being able to stand upright. And this is like December, like a couple months ago.
Wow.
So one of the researchers there acted as a whistleblower, yeah.
Wow.
Or for a test. I don't think that was the experiment. I think it was related to it.
Oh, okay.
But one of the researchers there was like, I'm getting this chimp and all the rest of them out of here and taking them down to another Center for Great Apes. Main one in Florida.
Yeah. Well, just to finish up on the Colston Foundation, the good news is, as of 2010, about half of the TCF chimps are now living at Save the Chimps, which is basically where you want to be if you're a retired chimp.
Yeah.
Swinging, playing, running around, eating bananas, holding hands, all that good chimp stuff.
So, well, let's talk about this. That's the result of that sea change that was started by Jane Goodall and PETA and a lot of the Animal Liberation Front.
And Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. What was the name of that?
Project X.
That's right.
And interestingly, real quick, I just saw today, I didn't realize this. Project X was a movie that raised awareness for mistreatment of chimps, obviously, in medical research. But Bob Barker at the time accused them of mistreating animals on the set.
Yeah, he was a huge, huge animal cruelty guy.
And he got sued for defamation for that.
Really?
Yeah, and settled out of court, actually. Against his wishes, he settled out of court because he still believed that they were mistreated and like said that there were like clubs and billy clubs and batons used. And they used like a snake to scare the chimps and stuff to get reactions.
Yeah, but that was just a joke. That was just a prank on set. In between takes.
Yeah. But yeah, Project X, go see it. Helen Hunt. Go see it in the theater near you.
Right. In your time machine.
Did you see the Ferris Bueller commercial?
I saw it out of the corner of my eye.
At the Superb Owl?
Were you disgusted?
I was looking forward to it because I heard about it beforehand, and it was pretty bad.
Was it?
Yeah.
Hey, man. He's got to support his kids.
Oh, dude. I'm sure he made a mint. Good for him.
So, okay, we were talking about Matthew Broderick and his career.
Yes.
Which led directly to a sea change in how people feel about animal testing and specifically about chimpanzee testing, which is kind of evidenced by the fact that Congress, in its endless ability to pass legislation with cutesy names and acronyms.
I know, this one was surprise me even.
In 2000, Congress passed the Chimpanzee Health Improvement, Maintenance, and Protection Act. And guess what that spells out?
Chimp.
Yeah. They passed the Chimp Act in 2000. And basically this said your captive breeding program is gone. Once a chimp is retired from biomedical testing or behavioral testing, I believe, too, you can't kill it. Sorry.
Nope.
All those monkeys running around with HIV, you can't euthanize them.
You have
to provide
them.
For their care for the rest of their lives, their
as
natural, natural lives.
Sure.
Which
as
is pretty cool.
It's bad enough that you've given them HIV. Like, at least care for them.
But this extends only, as far as I know, to federally funded chimp programs. pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
That own, it's federally funded in pharmaceutical companies. All the chimps in the United States are owned by them that aren't pets, I should say.
Right.
The pharmaceutical companies exist outside of this act, of course.
So, Josh, if I were to ask you how many countries in the world, still experiment on chimpanzees legally, what would be your answer?
I would say, since the United States is such a it's such a standard bearer of human rights and animal rights,
sure,
that if the United States still allows it, at least 90 to 105 other countries allow testing on chimpanzees. Am I right?
You did a very good job of playing dumb there, by the way. No, United States and Gabon are the only two countries in the world that still perform biomedical testing on chimpanzees. 97, Great Britain said no more. Netherlands in 2002, I can't even speak Dutch, that would be a travesty. Sweden in 2003, Austria 2006, Japan 2006.
Yeah.
Everyone said, we're drawing a line in the sand. United States still allows it. But 2 months ago, 3 months ago, December of last year, big news. The NIH suspended all new grants.
Awesome.
For biomedical and behavioral research.
On chimps or apes, the great apes? Which, by the
chimps.
Way, the great apes are chimps, gorillas, bonobos, and orangutans.
Correct. So they suspended all new grants. That doesn't mean that you can't test anymore, but they basically established some pretty rigorous criteria moving forward, which means it's got to be necessary for human health, and there must be no other possible way to accomplish it. And basically, it's kind of being looked at as the beginning of the end, because they're finding that nowadays, with cultures and cellular research, you don't need to experiment on chimps anymore. You can find out all you need to know
right.
in a Petri dish.
Yeah, the NIH said, hey, over the next 4 years, we're going to hypercharge our biomedical testing.
Yeah.
So we, like you said, it can just exist in the Petri dish from now on. We don't have to, well, basically, single-celled animals that are going to start to bear the brunt of our desire, our ceaseless quest for immortality.
For health. But you can't hold the hand of an amoeba.
No, but if you could, I'll bet it would melt you too.
Hepatitis C apparently is one of two areas that they think it could still be useful for. And but it sounds like they're genuinely phasing it out.
That's great. It's about time.
It is.
Up after that, it'll just be on Gabon.
So hats off to places like Save the Chimps. And what were some of the other ones?
The Center for Great Apes, which, by the way, I don't want to defame them at all, not even for legal reasons. Like, they do a good job.
Sure.
I looked them up. I looked up Save the Chimps.
Chimp Haven.
The Great Ape Project. I found one in Massachusetts. And if you go on some of, like, the charity watches and rating sites, there's nothing bad for them except for the fact that they haven't filed with the IRS, even though they should. For some reason, this Morningstar doesn't have anything on them.
They use golden laptops.
But they all of them seem to be legit. But the Great Ape Project, the one that's mentioned in this article that lobbies on behalf of the great apes for testing and basically animal rights,
yeah,
they're located in Brazil.
Thinking you're saying Grape Ape.
Yeah, the Grape Ape Project. The Center for Great Apes is bona fide and good, too. I couldn't find much on anything that seemed to smack of, like, the Colston Foundation or anything like that.
Yeah, well, the Colston Foundation actually morphed into Save the Chimps.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Fort Pierce?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And along with Chimp Haven and the Fauna Foundation, they're chimp sanctuaries. It's a nice thing.
Yeah. So I guess go there, give them some money, ask in exchange for a chimp to hold your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Do not feed chimps antidepressants and keep them at your house.
Is that what happened to the one?
Yeah. Remember the woman was like,
"Oh yeah,
he's on antidepressants. He shouldn't have done this." And everybody's like, "Wait, what did you just say?" She's like, "Nothing." Do you remember?
I don't remember the antidepressants part.
Yeah, but it came out like a couple, on like the Today Show or something, like a couple days after. She was like, I had him on antidepressants. I don't know what happened.
Boy, she was messed up too.
Was she?
Oh, yeah. She was. It was pretty gnarly.
Yeah. Oh, the
the lady.
The victim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something. Man. Okay, well, we were all over the place there.
Yeah.
If you can figure out where we stand on this, hats off to you. You got anything else about chimps? Or great apes?
No.
What are the four great apes?
Chimpanzees, orangutans, macaws. No, wait, that's a bird.
Yeah.
Macabs.
No.
Clint Eastwood.
That's a Every Which Way But Loose.
That's an orangutan.
Yeah.
I can't
Clyde,
remember.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Right Turn Clyde.
Bonobo.
Bonobos.
Or bonobo.
Mm-hmm.
Orangutans, gorillas, and chimps.
That's right.
And humans.
Zippy the chimp was my favorite toy growing up. Had a little hand you could squeeze, and it made a little squeaky noise. So, yeah, that was my favorite little toy, Zippy the chimp.
Awesome.
I bet you I can get one on eBay.
Okay.
Because mine is probably, you know, disintegrated because I'm 90.
I'm glad somebody finally said it. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, well, that's it for chimps then. I was not expecting you to mention that when I said, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I just remembered about Zippy the Chimp. First time I've thought about that in 20-something years.
That's good. Okay. If you want to learn more about chimps and biomedical testing, including the delightfully named Chimp Act of 2000, you can type in, what's it called, Chuck? What happens to chimps used in medical research, or any one of those?
Kristen Conger, right?
Yeah. She wrote both of the ones we recorded today.
Really?
Noah's Ark, yeah.
Hey, Conger Day.
In the search bar at HowStuffWorks.com. And if... Let's see, I said HowStuffWorks.com in search bar, right?
Yes.
Just now?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, as ever, without interruption or fail, it's time for listener mail.
Except...
What?
That there's interruption and fail.
What?
You wanted to talk about our million, what is it called? The million March for the millions?
The million dollar march.
Million dollar march. Yeah. March for the millions. That's good too.
March for the millions sounds more like a car sweepstakes or something like that. The million dollar march on Kiva, our Kiva team is rounding the bend toward having lent $1 million.
That's just baffling to me.
By the end of March.
Yeah.
We're well on the way. We're assured by Glenn and Sonia.
Mm-hmm.
We are the official team captains now, so we set the goal. You set the goal, didn't you?
Yeah, I typed it up.
That was nice of you. But we are not snobs. Our Kiva team is extremely open and accepting. And if you'd like to join and lend, don't just join. Why would you just join and not lend?
It's weird.
People do it.
I get joining Facebook and just stalking people.
Right, or just like sitting there and saying like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do anything on it.
Sure.
This is different. This team is all about action, baby.
Just one loan. Just do one loan.
Or do several.
Well, sure.
But the team's very supportive. The message board is very helpful. If you have any questions, you can ask and people will tell you. And you can say, hey, I think these people need their loan fulfilled. Help them, and people will go. And it's fun. It's cool.
Agreed.
But we are almost to $1 million. And if you want to join and help, you can join us on www.kiva.org/team/stuff-you-should-know. And join up and start lending, and it'll be cool.
And, you know, we don't mind if you join up here at the last minute and kind of receive some of the credit as, hey, I helped them reach $1 million, even though I just joined a month ago. Who cares? We love that.
Okay, well, yeah.
Bandwagoneers are welcome.
Yes, that's fine. As long as you're doing some good.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Agreed.
And I guess that's it, huh?
That is it.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet to SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. Again, join our Kiva team, kiva.org/team/stuffyoushouldknow. And you can send us an email to stuffpodcast@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.